Morning, brethren. It looks like the songs we have sung today is so much like the message I'm about to give. And from the reading that Vanessa gave, that will be the end of the message, the end part. Have you thought about it? The New Jerusalem. It's supposed to be 1,400 miles long, 1,400 miles wide, and 1,400 miles high. Imagine that. Like a cube. Will you have your permanent place there? The streets are paved with gold. A joyful place forever and ever. But it looks like mankind don't believe all these things. So nobody pays serious attention. And as the Apostle Paul said, work out your own salvation. It's very important. Many people will hear this good news about the kingdom of God, but they won't take it seriously. And my question is, where will you spend eternity? Well, if God is your Father, and He lives forever and ever in glory, why should you live 70, 80, 90, 100 years and you are gone? And where do you go? If your Father is an everlasting Father, the glorious Father, why should your life end when you are dead? Where will you spend eternity? Is eternity important to you, or just a bit because it is not real to you at all? Eternity. Let me tell you a story. The family and the brethren aside, I used to love cars. Cars. Big BMWs and all that. As most boys do. Since my youth, I used to love these cars. The huge ones with expensive fittings. And the small ones, smart and smooth, like the Beetle and the Mini. Also, I used to love the medium-sized cars. Every make attracted my attention. And even when I was on my first visit to this city, London, in 1973, that's not long, from Accra, Ghana, I was able to write down so many cars' numbers. Why? Because the numbering is different from that of Ghana. And I could memorize a lot of car numbers just as I passed them. I used to love cars. Also, I used to like the awesome power behind the, beneath the hood, as the Americans say, the bonnet in English. My brethren, today, I hardly look at cars. I don't care about the makes anymore. And gone are the days when driving to a festival site, I used to go a bit faster. Yes? I normally love to touch 100 and so just to see. That was my love for cars. Now, even if I'm given a free car, no matter what make, I cannot care very much. Time has passed. Due to my bad back and my stiff neck, I will need a driver. And that will be very expensive. So no cars for me now. That's how life is. As the days and years roll on, we tend to lose interest in things that we held dear years ago to our hearts. This is a quote from Anne Widdecombe, former MP, from an interview 21 years ago by the Reader's Digest magazine. A society which worships physical perfection instead of inner goodness is itself disfigured and ugly. In other words, inner perfection is what the world needs, not physical things which are temporary. It also means don't love the world and all its temporary pleasures. Philippians 3 and verse 20 to 21. Philippians 3, 20 to 21. But our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ, who is by the power that enables him in bringing everything under his control, will transform our lowly bodies so that they will be like his glorious body. If you are a Christian, no matter what is in the world, remember it's temporary, and your citizenship is in heaven, the everlasting kingdom of God. All that we see and know here is temporary. After all, as Christians, our citizenship is not here. This is temporary, but in heaven, which is permanent and everlasting. That's where we should focus. Many people hear the message about Christ, about the kingdom of God, but do they take it seriously? Or is it just a passing message of no significance? We need to feed our minds with spiritual truths, salvation. Ask an average Christian about salvation, and what would be the answer? Redemption, justification, grace, forgiveness of sins, etc., etc. Ask an average Christian and see what the answer they will give you. When we feed our minds with God's word, your brain becomes your friend, but your brains become your enemy when you dwell on the things that are temporary. Spiritual truths are the best and everlasting, not physical things. I wonder why you walk around the city and you don't see much about Christianity and Christians and the hope we have. But we are chasing the wind, chasing all those temporary things, and the best ones we neglect. Romans 8 and verses 15 to 17. The spirit you received does not make you slaves, so that you live in fear again. Rather, the spirit you received brought about your adoption to sonship, and by him we cry, Abba, Father. The spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now, if we are children, then we are heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ, if indeed we share in the sufferings, in order that we may also share in his glory. God is our Father. He is our Abba, Father. Experts believe that Christians who consistently doubt their salvation are prone to exploitation by false teachers. Those who doubt that they are saved can be manipulated by false teachers just to gain things from them. And I know what I'm talking about. On the TV you can see ignorant Christians falling down and doing things that should not happen at all. But to those who are confident in their salvation, confident of the spiritual riches Christ has brought us, and therefore fully trust in the Savior Jesus Christ. False teachers have nothing to offer them. Trust in Jesus gives the inner beauty that Anne Willicombe spoke about. Inner beauty is the Word of God, nothing more. If you believe in the Word of God and trust Jesus Christ, there is beauty in it, and your life never ends when you are dead, because you enter to your glory. You will be with Christ. To be sure about your salvation, you need to grow spiritually, and we must depend on the God of love. After all, God made us for Himself. But as humans, we like to be self-sufficient without any God. But we need God. We need God, the Savior, Jesus, all the time to fulfill the purpose of why we are here on earth. Without God, if you do it on your own, you will know the purpose, and it will end miserably when you die. As I said, I used to love cars, but they're all passing away now. I don't. Whatever I held dear, gone at this age. But the Word of God is forever. And we need Jesus Christ, who is the way, the truth, and the life. Turn with me to 1 John 4:16. 1 John 4 and verse 16. And so we know and rely on the love God has for us. That is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God, and God in them. Verse 17. This is how love is made complete among us, so that we will have confidence on the day of judgment. In this world, we are like Jesus. There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with judgment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. We need not fear if we belong to Jesus Christ. See, God's love is more than you can fathom. It's bigger than anything you can think of. And so when God says, you are my son through Jesus Christ, or my daughter through Jesus Christ, it's out of love. God is love. And we must abide by the love of God. We must trust God, so that the purpose of our lives on earth here will be fulfilled. If you love God, you love His Word. The ultimate purpose of our lives is to have fellowship with God, our Creator, and to carry out His purpose of love. Loving the Father and the Son is our purpose, and to revere God's holy name. Let's never forget, God is love, and we need to love Him and love each other. 2 Peter 1 and verses 2 to 11. 2 Peter 1 and verses 2 to 11. Grace and peace be yours in abundance through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. His divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life through our knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and goodness. Through this, He has given us His very great and precious promises, so that through them you may participate in the divine nature, having escaped the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. For this very reason, Make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, and to self-control perseverance, and to perseverance godliness, and to godliness mutual affection, and to mutual affection love. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But whoever does not have these is nearsighted and blind, forgetting that they have been cleansed from their past sins. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, make effort, every effort, to confirm your calling and election. For if you do these things, you will never stumble, and you will receive a rich welcome into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Make your calling and election sure. If you acquire all these qualities, you will never be afraid. You will continue to trust in the Lord. We are to grow spiritually. That is the message. All the physical things we seek or have cannot be with us forever. Not even our human bodies. This body is flesh, and flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of heaven, says the word of God. We are to conform to the image of God's Son, Jesus Christ, so that Christ will be the revered firstborn among the many children of God. Specifically, God planned for you to be saved in eternity past, to be made like Christ, to become glorious like Him in His glory. We are made to become like Jesus Christ, so that God will have many children like Jesus Christ, loving and good. And that should be our objective. Romans 8 and verse 29 and 30. Romans 8. For those God foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. And those He predestined, He also called. Those He called, He also justified. Those He justified, He also glorified. Wouldn't it be sad if you are not to have your glorious body, because this body is made of the dust, and it will end in the dust. But your glorified body is forever, everlasting, for eternity, glorified like Jesus Christ. Can you imagine that? And yet this message, this good news, mostly fall on deaf ears. People don't value it. But I believe you and I value it, because that is the truth. And truth is only one. Can't change it. And Jesus Christ is truth. And what He says is truth. There is no lie. That is what you are to be. Glorified Son of God, daughter of God, if you believe in Him who is your Lord and Savior. You'll be sad that many may lose out because they don't believe in these words, which is life. Brethren, in future, God's holy purpose will be fulfilled. Our bodies will become glorious like the Lord Jesus Christ. We will be perfect, not only outwardly, but inwardly. If you have any fears, forget it. Because Christ has already started working in you. And he is a very diligent worker. What he has started, he will surely accomplish it. You will be perfect and glorious inwardly and outwardly. All your fears will be gone forever. And you will be a glorified person in and out, a child of the living God. What is better than this? Perfect inside, perfect outside. Isaiah 43 and verse 25. Isaiah 43. I am he who blots out your transgressions for my own sake and remembers your sins no more. No matter what you have done in the past, no matter how grievous your sins are, God says he is the one. For his name's sake, blots out all your sins and your iniquities. Hebrew 4 and verse 16. Hebrew 4 and 16. Let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. God is willing always to forgive you, no matter what. You are his child, and sin should not stand in your way. Go to the Father always, through the Son, Jesus Christ, who intercedes on our behalf, and forgiveness is yours. Let's focus on Jesus. He's seated with the glorious Holy Father on his mighty right side, interceding on our behalf. Nothing is too small, or for that matter, too great for our Lord Jesus Christ. No matter what your sins, go to the throne of grace and you will be forgiven. Ephesians 5 and verse 15. Ephesians 5 and verse 15. Be very careful then, how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another with psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit. Sing and make music from your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is what we should be doing more and more, refreshing our minds. After all, we have one textbook, and that's the Bible. And there are so many subjects we need to know to understand the purpose of our lives. And we are to worship and sing psalms and hymns to our God. And I think we also enjoy the hymns ourselves. Thank God for that. We live in a temporary world. All we see and know is passing away. But Jesus Christ, the Son of God, promises us everlasting life in a glorious everlasting kingdom of the everlasting God. Isn't it wise to focus on Jesus, the Savior, for eternity. Eternity will be yours. The freedoms we have in Christ. Imagine that. And we were talking about the New Jerusalem. There will be other cities besides that. But the head office of God will be in the New Jerusalem. But there will be surely other towns and cities elsewhere. And maybe you and I would like to be in the head office. The New Jerusalem instead of outside. And how do you do it? To trust Jesus Christ, isn't it? To know Him. And if you know Him, He will never disappoint you. Remember Saul, who met Jesus on the way to Damascus and became the Apostle Paul. He said he considered all things rubbish after knowing Jesus. And Paul was a man of substance. All his previous knowledge, the laws and the customs, the Roman citizenship and his wealth, all became secondary to the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The intensity of Paul to know Jesus Christ could be described in all his writings. And that is what we need today. Christ should be real to us. No matter what problems you have, go to Him. Big or small, He cares. And He will never let you down. There is comfort in trusting in Jesus Christ. I'd like to end with Revelation 21 again, to whet your appetite about the New Jerusalem, which is your future destination, where you will spend eternity. Revelation 21 and verses 1 to 5. Then as I read it earlier, and it's so good that I want us to refresh our mind on it again. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth has passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "Look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and He will dwell with them. They will be His people, and God Himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death, no mourning, no crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away." He who was seated on the throne said, "I'm making everything new." Then he said, "Write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true," says the word of God. Brethren, we have a choice. What we see, what we enjoy today, or the everlasting kingdom of God, which is forever and ever. Amen.